Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. This morning I want to share on salute to the emperor versus the birth of the king. Having spent the last 5 weeks studying our topic on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, I thought it might be appropriate for us to look at the events regarding and surrounding the birth of our Lord. Because it was very, very busy regarding politics for the Roman Empire, as well as for the Judean people. In Luke chapter 2, we'll begin our reading this morning, and in verse 1, I got to turn back a page here, it says, "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." It came to pass in those days, meaning in this period of time, opening of time, those things concerning this particular time. And the time is that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus is, his name is Octavius. Octavius Augustus. And in this time, a decree came out from him, but it actually didn't come from him particularly, but it was an announcement of the state that all the world should be taxed. The world that it's talking about here is the Roman Empire, as far as the reach of the Roman Empire, because they considered everything else barbarians. So anything within the Roman Empire, they considered the civilized world, and then the rest were a bunch of barbarians. had a good view on their own. And it says they should be taxed. The word taxed is not correct. This was not for a tax. This was for a registry. And what they wanted to do was get a registry going to handle some things. They were planning for a huge national celebration for the Roman Empire. 2 BC would be the 25th anniversary of Octavius's rule as emperor. And he was to be given the title Pater Patrii. Pater Patrii means father of our country. So they were getting ready for this national celebration or empire-wide celebration where they were going to give him another title. Caesar wasn't enough and Augustus wasn't enough. All these different things that they ladled on this guy were not enough for him. He wanted more accolades. So they were going to call him the father of our country, which was going to be on the 25th anniversary of his reign. It was also going to be his 60th birthday. And at the very same time, it would be the 750th anniversary of the founding of Rome. Judea had been a province of the Roman Empire for 40 years at this point, but it would be the first year of their direct subjection to Rome as a where the Roman would have administration over it. They were a province for 40 years, and then they were going to have this. This would be the start of them being under the administration of Rome. So it's kind of everybody needed to come in, everybody needed to register. You also had to show your loyalty to Rome. And they would have this whole collection of names and all of this stuff, and it was all going to be presented to Octavius Caesar, and it was going to be a big blowout. For Emperor Octavius, father of the country, now under Roman rule, to have the, it was also going to be, and it was very close to the time of Tishri 1 on the Hebrew calendar. And the significance of that was the day that they would install the new king, or they would start counting the king's year. A king may take over in, say, July, but they don't actually start until Tishri 1, which would be around October, September, October, somewhere in there, the end of September or mid-September to October. It would fall in that area, and that's when they would start actually counting his service as the king. So come Tishri 1, it would be your first year of service as king. Now, the significance of that was, for Judea, there would be blowing of the trumpets all day long. They would be sounding the ram's horns and all that, and making this noise, and all day long you would hear it, and it would be all over Judea. So for Octavius Caesar to get in on that, where here's his first year, he's going to be reigning over officially and have administration over Judea. They're going to be blowing these trumpets all day long, and they're going to be hearing this noise and announcing this change in government form. So it was a very exciting time politically, from a political aspect. Of course, it should have been an exciting time for the Judeans to have a Judean king, but they didn't. They were under the Roman rule, so it would be under Octavius Caesar. And it would announce, those trumpets would blow all day long, announcing your reign, as well as in other places in the empire. And boy, that would really be an impressive thing for Octavius. They had this thing set up. This was going to be magnificent. You know, it's kind of like we vote for a president in November every 4 years. We vote for him in November, but he doesn't actually get inaugurated and take office, or we don't start counting his time in office until January 20th. And that evening, we have big balls all over the place. There's presidential balls, and he goes around, visits a few of them. He can't go to all of them. But, you know, the Republicans will have a ball, and the Democrats will have a ball, and all the people that donated would have a ball, and, you know, this celebrity would have a ball, and all these different things, and, you know, would be a big blowout party. Well, this was going to be something. The 25th anniversary of this Caesar, the first year of his rule in Judea, his 60th birthday, and the 750th anniversary of the founding of Rome. My gosh, it was really going to be something. and also them falling under the administration of Rome now was something that a lot of the people anticipated. The religious people, of course, did not like that idea, but a lot of the business people, just like Amnesty, I guess, business people, the Chamber of Commerce, they're all for that, because they're going to be getting new revenues, and the government's for it because they're going to be getting new taxes and all of that stuff, and another group of people to tell what to do. But it was a big deal to receive that. In Acts 22, or Acts 16, when Paul went to Thyatira, he and I think it was Silvanus got arrested there because they cast a devil spirit out of a woman who was fortune-telling, and they got put in jail. And they also were beaten and put in jail. And when Paul made known that he happened to be a citizen of Rome, he was an official citizen of Rome, they were really worried about that, because now they had beaten a citizen of Rome, and now they were going to be in big trouble. So it was a big deal to them. In Acts 22, when Paul went to Jerusalem, and there was the big riot there, and the captain of the guard came and got him, he said to, again, Paul let him know that he was a Roman citizen, and the captain said, well, you know, I bought mine for a great amount of money. I had to purchase, and I am a Roman citizen that way. Paul said, I'm a freeborn Roman citizen. So that really shook him up, and he wanted somebody else to take over handling the rest of the business, and they shipped him off to talk to Herod and some of the other people. So it was really a big deal in a lot of ways from a political aspect, and you could see why people's thoughts were focused more toward the political, more toward the arrangements there than the birth of Christ, which we'll get into in just a minute. So here we are in Luke chapter 2, and then in verse 2 it says, and this taxing or this registry was first made when Cyrenius, or it's sometimes pronounced Quirinius with a Q, just like we pronounce Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda, you know, the letters don't match up with anything we have, so whatever we think it sounds like, we just add those letters. A lot of people use Quirinius, was governor of Syria. Actually, he was not the governor. He was on a special assignment as a legate to Syria. In other words, he represented to the Senate in Rome the Syrian people. And it was 9 years later that he actually became governor. He did that for a 9-year period. But in any case, it was around that time. And all went to be taxed or registered, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, or the house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Beautiful. So Joseph and Mary was also of the house of David, but only the men had to register. So they went to Bethlehem for that purpose. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We sometimes wonder, well, how did he get from Galilee and over to Bethlehem, and he was in Nazareth? Where was he from? He was actually from Nazareth, but they had to go back to Bethlehem so they could get to this registry and prove who they were and so on and so forth, so they could have this big party for Caesar. It says, to be registered with Mary, verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. The Aramaic eliminates the word espoused. They were more than espoused. They were married. So this was taking place. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She's going to have a child. And she brought forth her, what's the next word? Firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him or for them in the inn or the khan, which was like a roadside stop for caravans. It says she was going to have her firstborn. Why does it say firstborn? Because she had other children. If you look at Matthew 13:55, he had a brother named Joseph. He had a brother named James. He had several brothers, and he also had sisters. So Mary had more than just Jesus, but the firstborn was Jesus, which was born by divine conception. The rest of them came the natural way. So that's really something. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were small strips of cloth, maybe about 2 inches wide and, a couple of feet long. And they would wrap the baby. Any child that was born to be a king would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they would wrap it around the child. And that would indicate that when that child grew to be the king, he would be upright before his people. It was just a symbolic thing. It wasn't a cast or anything like that to straighten his back out or something. But it was just an indication that this child, as the king, would be upright and walk uprightly before his people. And they would take the child and they would wrap him from head to toe, leave a little space for his mouth and his nose so he could breathe. But then it's only done ceremonially. So however long it took to wrap the child, maybe a couple of minutes, and then time to say prayers over the child that they would want to do and bless this newborn child and so forth. And that's why they wrapped him in those swaddling clothes. And then in verse 8 it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid," these shepherds. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." And always have to bring your mind back. And, you know, pretty much any time an angel appeared before someone, the first thing they told him was, don't be afraid. When the angel appeared to Daniel, he told Daniel, be not afraid. When he appeared to Abraham, be not afraid. The message from God is, don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear. Because God is on our side. He is our loving Father. Be not afraid. Fear not. For behold, and here's the reason, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it stops right there. Nope. Look at what it says. I bring to you, verse 10, I bring to you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just the Judeans, but to all people. We did that series on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I shared that, took the time to share that. This is God's message to all the world. This angel is speaking to the shepherds, but he's telling them, I'm giving you glad tidings of great joy. This is something that should just electrify your very soul, because it's to all people. It's to all people. Beautiful. He didn't say, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. This is the 25th anniversary of Octavius Caesar. No, he didn't go into all that. The rest of the world was delighted about this big party coming up, and here you have the greatest announcement in the history of the world being made to a few shepherds out in a field tending their flocks on the very same night. Isn't that something? An emperor, a salute to the emperor versus the birth of a king. And nobody really noticed or recognized it, except for a few believing shepherds standing out in the field. Beautiful. Well, and in verse 11, for unto you was, not is, but was, he's already born. He's already been born. That part has already arrived. She broke her water. The child's out. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what?
Savior.
If it's glad tidings of great joy to all people, and it is born to you this day a Savior, then who is the Savior to? The whole world. He's the Savior to the whole world, to all people. Which is Christ, meaning the anointed one, the Lord, the one of God's choosing. Beautiful. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That you no longer have to anticipate his coming. He is here. Really something. And this, look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, doing what? Lying in a manger. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How long does that take? A few minutes, enough to wrap the baby ceremonially, salt him, wrap him in his swaddling clothes, say a prayer, and then take it off the child. You've done that. Make your hearts known to God, your thankfulness, and so forth. But they were going to arrive just at the time he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And that was going to be, that's why it's a sign. It's this momentary pause in time. They're out in the field near Bethlehem tending their sheep. And they're going to make it there. And when they get there, he's going to be wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And that's how they're going to know. That's the sign. Oh boy, really something. Well, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Not because Caesar reigns, but because the King of Peace is born. And the word peace really means forgiveness enjoyed. Forgiveness enjoyed. That's what peace is. It's not referring to a political peace, a temporary peace. It's good as long as this person's in rule, and then someone else will take over, and it's going to change, and then someone else will invade, and that's going to change. And this is a peace you can have right now and enjoy it because it is forgiveness enjoyed, that God had redeemed his people. Not because of what they did, but because of what he did through Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Goodwill toward what? Goodwill toward men. I think most people think that God has bad will toward them, or they're always expecting God to, you know, punish them, punish me for this, or another shoe is going to drop, and, you know, my life seems to be doing okay, but I know, you know, my faults and my failings, and then God's going to be mad at me again. And all. It says what? Goodwill toward men. How many men? All men. He sent them to this announcement is good tidings of great joy to all people. So how many of them? All of them. Beautiful. The words goodwill from the Greek literally mean resolved to do good. God has absolutely resolved to do good. And it's not in the sense of moral good or purposeful good. It's in the sense of a pleasurable desire to do something good. And it is to all men. Wow. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men, because it's his pleasurable desire. He is resolved to do good, regardless of how you've been, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done. He has resolved to do good for you. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. What are we waiting for? Let's not waste another second. Let's go. What about the don't worry about the sheep. If God could take care of us and tell us this great news, I'm sure he's got his hand on the sheep. And let's just get going. Why? Because we have to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, which is only for a short period of time. We've got to hit this thing. You know, God made it available for us to know. God told us. Evidently, it has enough time for us to get there, but we need to get going, because if we don't act, we miss the blessing. It's not that God wouldn't bless us, not that God wouldn't send his son. He already did. But we would miss the blessing of seeing him by our inaction, by our unbelief. Let's get going right now. Let's not waste another moment. Let's hit it and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I don't know how many people, you know, I could just imagine these shepherds. I don't know how many people he told, but he told us that the king that we have waited for, the king we have desired, this one, the Savior, the Redeemer, this one has come, and we've been told, and we have the opportunity to see him. Let's feet skip walking, you know, and they take off. And it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying, what? In a manger. And he'd been wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when they had seen it, seen what? You're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You're going to see it. So it says, when they had seen, what did they see? They saw a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That was proof to them absolutely that what that angel had told him is fully confirmed. This is the one. And if this is the one, then he has done good, and we should have great joy. As a matter of fact, the whole world should have great joy because he did it, and we are witnesses of it, because the witness was, we're going to arrive there and we're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and right at that moment, they walked in the door. Wow. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was the saying which was told them concerning this child, the Savior, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord, the anointed one of God, who is to be our Lord. Well, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, because they were expecting, how about a big party? How about an inaugural ball? How about a big blowout? But that was being done for Caesar by the people. This was being done for the people by God. In the quiet of the evening, in that wonderful time, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Both what the, you know, having the angels speak to them and tell them to go, and then arriving there at that moment. Good gosh, it must have been mind-blowing. All the things they had seen, heard and seen, as it were told them, just exactly the way God said it was going to happen. You see, the child was wrapped in swaddling clothes, he would be upright. The trumpets were blowing not for Octavius, the emperor of Rome, but for Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, I'm going to teach again next week, but after that, we're going to take a little bit of time off, and we will not be teaching again or sending out a link and the CDs until after the first of the year. So next week we will send out a link, we will send out the CDs, but after that we won't send them out till after the first of the year. But we still will have fellowship here at our wonderful chapel. So bless your hearts. Have a wonderful time with your neighbors and friends and loved ones at this season time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let it be great tidings of great joy to all people. God bless you.